Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I know it's Tuesday. It just feels like a Monday for us. That's okay. We had a long weekend, but a very good one. And if you had a long weekend, or I guess if you're just kind of back into your work week, I hope you had a good one too. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh, the newly minted Hall of Famer. Hugh Douglas, how you doing, man?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? I'm great.
That was a heck of a weekend. Great event at the Hall of Fame on Saturday night. A lot of fun to see you. Hey, by the way, and I think AT and D would certainly second this. The way this worked is they inducted and made an announcement, and then they interviewed you up on stage because they interviewed everybody, and you were very good. You were really good.
Well, thank you, John Fricking. I thought, since the fact that I kind of do radio every day would be kind of easy, but it was kind of hard. It felt like, after a while, you felt like you was ranting a little bit, but it was pretty cool, man, to have Steve Weiss up there and, just chopping it up with him for a minute and getting it done. Getting it done, man, and being in that room with all that greatness, with like Ed Tuttle Jones and Timmy Newsom, Mel Blount and guys like that. It was pretty fun. Pretty fun.
Yeah, a tough act to follow, though, because Emerson Boozer wasn't able to come for whatever reason. So he sent Joe Namath in his place.
Yeah, Joe did a great job.
Joe did a great job. And so you had to follow Joe Namath, and that's not an easy act to follow.
Not at all. And Joe did a great job, man. The Jets Super Bowl quarterback. Joe remembered me because I met Joe when I got drafted by the Jets. I remember him through that, and took a picture with him. He took a picture with my son. It was a great time, man. And that was my first time going to the College Football Hall of Fame. And like what everybody else does when you go down there, you try to find the helmet from your school. And they have them up when you walk in, they say every helmet from every school that's representing a college football team or whatever, Division II and Division I. And was looking for my helmet. Found it. But they had the wrong logo. They had the wrong logo on the side of the helmet. So the AD was there for my school, and they said that they're going to make sure that they call them Monday and change the logo because they had the wrong logo.
Wait, they have the
they just had CSU.
Oh, is it?
It had CSU on the helmet, and it has a Marauder on the helmet. So I got the wrong helmet. So yeah.
Well, you could fix that. Yeah, right. Just send them the new decal and put it on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch. At the Black College Football Hall of Fame, and they kept, here comes this guy, here comes that guy, and it's like superstar after superstar after superstar.
A lot of Hall of Famers, man. It was a lot of Hall of Famers there. And that was the most humbling thing, is that, you saw a lot of people that were in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. David Baker was there. The curator, I guess, of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, big dude, man. Big dude. Every time I see him, always has on a white suit. Is that kind of like his MO? Is that his claim to fame? Because I think that's the second time I've seen him with a white suit on. But yeah, big dude, man, big dude. Yeah, but had a great time, man. It was a great time.
Yeah, rocking a white suit that's not a wedding. That's a tough look.
Oh, he pulled it off, though.
I know. I mean, it's just not an easy.
He's a big man. Yeah.
No, he's like 6'8". No, I'm not telling him.
No, he's a big dude. Like, you would. Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Is right. So we had to play because, Saturday, we had to play a little bit of catch-up this weekend, but that's okay. But what a weekend it was. All-Star Game in Daytona. and everything else that was going on. All-Star, man.
You know what? It was funny. We were talking about it this morning in the bullpen. John Collins, I thought his dunk was okay. I didn't think it was all that. I thought it was okay. But it was just funny how they were kind of killing him. They were killing him on the broadcast. And I, you know, it just, to me, and I was telling AT this morning, John.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels to me like retired NBA players are harder on the current players than any other sport that's playing. They just seem like they're a little harder on the guys that are on the court.
Yeah, because they believe they can still play.
I guess. Is that what it is, D? Is that what it is? They feel like they can still play?
Yeah, they can still go out there and throw up 30. Yeah.
Man, it's just to hear it, and I understand it's commentary, but at the same time, when you're listening to it, it's just like, man, dude, that's pretty impressive. Like, he's trying to be creative. I guess I'm grading on the curve. I guess I grade on the curve a little bit, and I'll admit that, because I think that John Collins put forth, you know, his best creative mind, and he came up with what he thought would be interesting. And it was pretty, like, with the aviator hats on and he had all the people come out, I honestly thought he was going to jump over the folks, because that's what the joke was. They thought he was going to jump over the people. I was wondering how he was going to put it all together, but when he put the plane out there and everything,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. I guess I could have, you probably could have been a little bit kinder in your critique, because they killed him. They let him have it.
Then he hit the plane, you know, I mean.
Yeah, because he took off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably was a little nervous. Yep. Probably was a little nervous.
And people were giving him a hard time about, he clipped the, because it was a plane that if you didn't see it, because he's, you know, looked like Wright Brothers plane, you know, so.
Yeah.
Because he's from North Carolina. And so first in flight and all that kind of stuff. And played his college ball at Wake Forest. And so they thought,
he was being creative. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
he was being creative.
You know.
But I think it fell short on a lot of people, especially the judges. No, the judges showed him love. It was the commentary that was mm-hmm. killing him, though.
And then there was Daytona. Which was, man, it took forever. Because Arthur even sent a tweet out. This thing, you know, is taking for, you know, 4.5 hours or whatever it took. And because I kept going back to it, and it was like, man, this thing is going on. And
I think the car crash was what threw Daytona off.
Well, yeah, I mean, that 22 car pileup.
Yeah, the car crash is what threw that off, man. But it was a pretty interesting weekend for the most part. Pretty interesting weekend.
It was an interesting weekend. A lot of Braves start showing up for spring training. You know, they play this weekend. I mean, this weekend the Hawks will be back in action. We have the Braves spring training opener. Atlanta United plays on Thursday night. The Legends play their opener this weekend at home. I mean, here we go with another. We tell you, for February. Oh, and by the way, NASCAR is here in town. That's all going on.
Atlanta Motor Speedway?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to call somebody about that. I might need to go check that out.
And by the way, the Folds of Honor 500 is this week.
Oh, wow.
It comes quick. Yeah. Well, that's the one thing I don't like, is the second race of the year is in Atlanta, because we used to have two. We mm-hmm. had a spring race and we had a fall race.
And then that's it.
But now we only got one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's it.
I know, that's it.
Race, that's it. That's
you know,
it.
I mean, they don't come back. And it's like,
You know what I was reading this morning, John? The AAF, they had to get emergency funding.
Funding. Yeah, they almost folded over the weekend.
Wow.
The AAF came very close to folding after two games. We wouldn't even had a game here.
That's unfortunate. And I hope they get that figured out. I hope they get it figured out soon, because I think it'd be something that's good. But you would think that with the name, was it Ebersol? That's the primary investor's name, with one of the guys named Ebersol. I know his dad they have CBS funding. That's the point that I'm making. And you thought that coming into this and the way that they put this league together, it felt like they had all of that taken care of.
Well, they're going to have a new person in charge. He's the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes. His name is Tom Dundon, I believe.
Yes.
He's going to be the new chairman. He put cash into the league. He's going to take over the league and start running it. So the just didn't have the attendance. And even though they had pretty good TV ratings, there wasn't the money there. And I don't know what they overextended. Remember, the league is not individually owned. So it's not like one franchise is in trouble and another franchise is good. All eight franchises are owned by one entity. And it was CBS. And I guess they were looking at how much money that they were losing. They just didn't bring in cash. So they said that some of the games have been a lot of free tickets given out, a lot, that they just didn't sell that many tickets. So I don't know. I mean, we've seen spring football, you know, come and go over the course of time. All the leagues that have come through, the World Football League, not talking about the World League of American Football, talking about the WFL, which was the first in the 1970s. There were two WFLs. It folded, and then they came back as the second WFL. And you had the USFL, the World League of American Football. They tried CFL football. Remember, the Canadian League had, I don't know what, six or seven American franchises at one point.
Mm-hmm.
They had a team in Baltimore, and they had some other teams trying to come down here. We've tried so many spring football leagues. Now the XFL is going to launch, what, in another year or so?
Yeah, next year. And the guys, the co-founder of the AAF is Charlie Ebersole. That was and that's what kind of threw me off, because you're thinking like his father, Dick Ebersole, that runs
NBC.
NBC? Yeah, NBC,
Dick Ebersole was NBC, right?
Okay, yeah.
And, but, you know, here's the thing. You know, it kind of occurred to me when I saw this story, and I thought, you know, this NHL owner came to the rescue. I think, Hugh, the only way spring football is going to work in this country is for the NFL to own it.
They did do that, though, John, and I think that the NFL – I mean, I hear what you're saying.
I mean, they did it in Europe.
They did, but I think that they felt that it was hemorrhaging money, you know, and I think that's probably why they let it go.
Yeah, I just don't know if spring football is ever really going to work on
that. No, this is the weird thing about the AAF, the World League, and things of that nature. For whatever reason, the model seems like it doesn't work during this time of the year. For whatever reason that may be.
Well, I think partly, I'm going to speak as a fan for a second, and it's not just that baseball's online or we get into March Madness, but if this makes sense to you, Rick Kamla is a gigantic, ginormous NBA fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get into the summer, he talks about the summer league in Las Vegas, right? And he's mm-hmm. into it. I couldn't care one whit about the summer league, don't want to hear about it. I need, as a fan, a break from my sport.
So that's what you think it is with football?
I like the fact that there's a break in football and that I can look forward to, because what's the AAF competing against? It's not only competing against the start of baseball and the start of NASCAR and the start of golf and March Madness. It's also competing against the NFL, because what are we? We have a team in town that's going to play its opening game this weekend. What do you care more about? Do you care about the Atlanta Legends opener, or do you care about the NFL Combine that's going on because the Falcons brass is going to be there?
I probably watched a little bit of Combine, but I planned on going to the AAF. I planned on trying to get to the AAF game. But I tell you this, John, maybe it's because we're all burnt out on football at this point in the year. And you know what? When you think about the business model of the AAF or any sport or any league that comes in at this time of year, you would think that it would work, because the revenue and the viewership for all of the sports that you just named is not that great around this time of year. It really isn't.
Yeah, there's got to be some way that it works, but maybe as a real minor league, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. It's got to work on some level. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of crowd the Legends get this weekend in their home opener against Birmingham. Of course, NBA All-Star Weekend was a rousing success by every metric. Everything went smoothly. The NBA couldn't have had a better weekend. What was the best of the weekend? John Collins, Trae Young showed out too.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
People are getting on their feet now. They want to see this. Can Hamidou Diallo go over the 7'2" Shaquille O'Neal? Diallo makes his way towards Shaq. Rises. Puts it up and in and hey.
NBA Radio, as Hamidou Diallo wins the NBA slam dunk, part of a great weekend as the NBA shined this weekend. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks, as Tanitra was mentioning in the Sports Flash, are going to be back home this weekend for two games. They'll play the Pistons on Friday and the Suns on Saturday, and their air quotes, Hugh, second half begins, but they only have 20-some-odd games to go, so... The season's winding down and almost over. It's two-thirds over as it is. But the Hawks, I believe they have 24 games left. Hawks will play this weekend against the Pistons, yet the Hawks shined this weekend. Now, Trae Young had the skills challenge won. All right? He's got it won. There's just no way he doesn't win it unless Jason Tatum makes a miracle shot.
Tatum going.
doing a little bit now.
Yeah, but this is him. This is the one, two, three.
And he made a miracle shot. From beyond half court, he banked it in. As the buzzer was about to go off, he threw up this prayer that went in. And because of that, he beats Trae Young. But you know, I think Trae was okay with it. He's like, well, if I'm going to lose that way, you know, I guess, all right. But Trae Young did very well in the skills competition. Even though he didn't win, I thought John Collins did very well in the dunk. And I thought these two young stars showed out. They played well in the Rising Stars game, too.
Way to represent Atlanta, obviously, for us. It wasn't the outcome that we wanted it to be, no question about that. But I think it was good for the young players, and hopefully next year they'll have a better showing. I think that you know what to expect now from the All-Star game.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about how John Collins has become one of the better young players in his second year in the NBA, and now that he's healthy, you really see how good he is. But, boy, how about Trae Young? You know, so much was given, and you mentioned it last week, and we'll talk with the GM of the Hawks, Trevor Schilling, tomorrow. But you talked about it with him last week where he was getting a raft of it from a lot of fans because Luka Doncic was so good and playing so well. But in the past month, all Trae Young has done has been to match Doncic in terms of all of his productive numbers and be a point guard at top of that. And then win Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, and then really pretty much win the skills competition, and he should have been the MVP of the Rising Stars game. I mean, the kid has really, really elevated his game.
There's no question about that, John. I think that he is going to be – and I always say that about him because he's one of the guys that you look at that with the way that he presents himself, that he could potentially be a star. His game just has to add what he – his game has to enhance what he brings off the court. And that once he gets it there, then he definitely will be.
Yeah, so I think that maybe the Hawks ended up making the right pick because you're going to find that he works so well with John Collins. And you know, I know that everybody's in love with Luka, right? Okay, I get it. But, the fact is Trae Young has really proven the fact that, you know, who knows how they finish the year that Trae Young couldn't end up Rookie of the Year. I mean, they're probably not going to happen.
It's going to be probably hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it all is predicated on your season that your team is having.
Right.
And things of that nature. I think he's going to be he could be a good piece. But like I said, his game has to match his off-the-court persona or vice versa, however you want to look at that. But, yeah, it's one of those things where you have some good young players in place that could definitely be the face of the franchise moving forward.
You know, we were talking earlier last week about the slam dunk and why the big stars don't do it. And the big stars don't do it because they don't want to get beat by Hamidou Diallo or John Collins, right? I mean, they don't want to hurt their brand. Watching the three-pointer, watching Steph Curry lose to Joe Harris of Brooklyn, I wonder if now, you know, I mean, his brother was in it, but I wonder a little bit if some of those stars go, I don't know that I want to lose to anybody named Joe Harris.
You know, honestly, it didn't look like Steph really was tripping. You know, Steph wasn't tripping. And I think that's the good attitude to have because we talked about that going into the All-Star game, about how some guys are afraid of their brand being hurt by losing situations like that. Steph had a nice little run. Dude just had – he just got him at the end. Because Steph hit like 10 – he had like, what, 5 straight money balls, AT, was it? Or something of that nature. He had a nice run. And it was fun to watch. That's one of those skill challenges that I think that people are tuning in to see more so than the slam dunk contest because you got guys like Steph Curry that are still in it. So it was one of those things where even though he lost, I think people still were entertained and it didn't hurt him at all. It did not hurt him at all.
Well, I find it kind of interesting because if you base it on social media, then the dunk of the week didn't happen in the dunk contest. It happened with Steph Curry on the bounce alley oop that he threw up to the Greek Freak. I mean, that thing was
– Or the one that he had at
insane.
The end of the game.
Well, yeah, both.
Yeah, he bounced that thing against the floor hard and the Greek Freak slammed it. That was fun. I was talking to AT about this. And I was kind of surprised at his answer. I felt that NBA All-Star Weekend, out of all the All-Star games that you can have in all professional sports, I thought that NBA All-Star Weekend was by far the best. And he said, no, it's the baseball All-Star game.
I guess it depends on how you define it.
Well, we were talking about as far as the pop and pageantry that basketball brings to the table and the way that they integrate the older stars. They integrate the old heads into the whole events weekend. I think that's pretty cool when they do it like that. I guess AT's point was the fact that in baseball, it's more about the game, and they play a little bit harder. I think that weekend, All-Star weekend, because when you look around in the crowd and you see everybody there, it's star-studded. And the fact that they're trying to get all the stars involved, like J. Cole, Quavo, Gucci Mane was there with his wife, old head Shaq. I think that's the most exciting weekend because of the way that they integrate the celebrity part of it. The NBA is always, to me, the NBA has always had that on lockdown. They've always had it on lockdown, and that's what, honestly, NFL is trying to aspire to. And baseball, I don't know if baseball really cares a whole lot, but the NFL definitely is trying to aspire to be, you know, a part of that celebrity. The NBA is a part of that celebrity. NFL is aspiring to be a part of it like that.
Well, you know, the NHL had such a problem with its All-Star game because it was ending up 17-15 because nobody played any defense, and it was a joke of a hockey game that they split into this 3-on-3 thing with divisions. It's kind of a weird setup, but it kind of works, I guess, in that regard. The NBA final score was 178-164. There were 167 three-pointers taken in a four-quarter game. 167 three-pointers attempted.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about that, too, how the game has evolved. And I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, how everybody was killing the fact that they felt that you could not win shooting the three. Like you had to live and die by the three. Couldn't win shooting the three. And now everybody's trying to shoot the three. Oh, the irony. The irony of that whole situation is crazy. Like everybody's shooting the three. I remember when the Splash Brothers came out. Can't shoot the three. Can't win like that. Can't win playing that kind of basketball. How many titles have they won? Three? Was it three? Golden State? Three? Yeah, three titles. Shooting the three. Go figure. And now all you hear everybody talk about is this new ushering in of basketball, the new NBA, where scoring is going through the roof this season. They're talking about how scoring is going through the roof. Nobody's shooting a three. Everybody's killing James Harden because he's out there playing, in air quotes, hero ball. He's out there scoring. What, he's had like 15 to 20, 30-point games this season or something crazy like that? So yeah, it's crazy how the NBA has evolved in such a short period of time.
Yeah, just Steph Curry was talking about James Harden and this whole thing about being more or less a one man team.
I was talking to James from Dak, like obviously complimenting him on what he's doing. First thing he said was like, yeah, it's fun, but I wanna play different. But
yeah,
like I'm by myself, whatever, hero ball. Like the people want to play like that. It's a system where they actually can play beautiful basketball.
Yeah, like, it's such a beautiful
guys
sport.
Know how to play.
It's interesting for him to say that. Yeah, like, yeah. I would not have thought he.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep doing that. He's like, nah.
Well, that's the thing. You need help. Like, after him doing that, so every night, like, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, well, so it was Coach Bud and Steph Curry. And the fact is James Harden does need help. I mean, you can't win. One guy ain't going to be able to do it. And, I mean, he's essentially a one-man team at the moment. So, I mean, yeah, the hero ball thing. But you're right, 178-164. Yeah, the only difference between – Hugh, the only difference really between when it comes to the actual game, between the Pro Bowl, the NHL All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game, and baseball is that baseball plays defense. Because there's nobody going to get hurt playing baseball. You don't think anybody's going to get seriously hurt playing baseball. So they play like it's a real game. I mean, the pitchers throw it 95 miles an hour, and the outfielders are running down fly balls because they play defense.
Mm-hmm.
In the other games, you don't want anybody to get hurt, so you just don't bother to play. They don't check in the NHL All-Star Game. They don't body out in the NBA All-Star Game. They do, you know, Ole defense, and it's just layup after layup. And, of course, nobody really wants to tackle anybody in the NFL because you don't want anybody to get hurt. So baseball plays defense. So that's really the difference, you know, in terms of, you know. But really, it's not really about – baseball fans, I think, would be mad if the baseball game was, you know, home run derby. If it ended up 27-22 or something, they'd probably be a little upset. But I don't know. Depends on how you look at it. I thought the NBA had a stellar weekend. Stellar. Are you ready for a little bit of NASCAR this week? I hope so, because the only chance you're going to have in Atlanta to see it. I mean, yeah, you could drive someplace else like Talladega, but for here in town, here's your one shot. Folds of Honor 500. That's it. on the heels of Daytona. It's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Now back to more John and Hugh.
And you need to listen
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hamlin off turn number four. No, side-by-side battle to the finish this time. Denny Hamlin wins his second Daytona 500 and wins it for Coach Gibbs in Toyota.
Denny Hamlin wins the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl of NASCAR. Welcome back to the morning show with John Hugh, one of the big events over the weekend. And now NASCAR heads to Atlanta for its one and only weekend, the Folds of Honor 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And hopefully, Hugh, we have a good race and we have good weather, because with the weather this week, the forecast is for rain.
Yeah, and if they can't get the race in, that's going to be bad. And they're going to have to try to figure out how they're going to get the race in. It's kind of hard to run at like 200 miles an hour in rain. That's not safe.
Mm-mm.
So I'm assuming that if they can't get it in this weekend, that they're going to have to reschedule it.
Because, you know, we only get this one opportunity to have NASCAR here anymore. I know that there have been people who have talked about whether or not Atlanta would even have a race. Well, it's hard to believe that Atlanta wouldn't have a race. I'm not really sure I'm understanding what NASCAR is trying to do.
Well, I think that they're trying to let me see if I can say this the right way. They're trying to pique interest by having less races, if that's the case, if that makes sense. They're trying to keep, like, the venue race, like, keep the interest high by not having that many races, like spreading them out a little bit. I'm thinking that's probably what it is. But the unfortunate thing about it is, like you talking about at Atlanta Motor Speedway, you only get one race, and it's so early in the season that you really can't enjoy it because of situations like this. Remember a couple of times, I think me and Squid went to one race where it was the weather. I know it was a little cool, but it turned out to be a pretty good day. It turned out to be a really, really good day. As a matter of fact, I think it was the Folds of Honor. We got a chance to sit up in the stands, and it was a great time. It was down in the pit a little bit. It was a great time, man. It's just one of those things where I think nationally people aren't really that excited about NASCAR, and they're trying to figure out a way to keep the interest up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, and some people want to blame NASCAR and how NASCAR has struggled on, you know, the fact that they diversified in terms of the you know, they took this Southern Grand National Series, was mm-hmm. what it was, and they went national. They went to, you know, Pennsylvania and Delaware and New Hampshire, Michigan. They went to Indiana, to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They went to Nevada. They went to California. They went to Northern California up at Sonoma. They went to New York. I mean, they went to a lot of different places with their schedule, and they aced out some of the grand old Southern raceways like North Wilkesboro mm-hmm. and Richmond and others that they got rid of. But, you know, it took off the NASCAR circuit. You know, and I don't know that that's so much it as it is, Hugh, the sport is lacking stars. It lacks stars. And when we talk about diversity, you know, they tried Danica Patrick, and she didn't quite work, and they're saying they've got a number of young women drivers that are coming up through the ranks, but until they get kind of breakthrough with a you know, a minority driver like a Bubba Wallace, who had a bad wreck, of course, or had engine trouble in this one, or a female, I don't know that they're going to get anybody that kind of becomes – know, their go-to. Right now, I mean, I don't think the NASCAR has very many stars.
I think the biggest problem with NASCAR is that people don't understand that there's a lot of strategy that goes into driving around the track. And I know most people say, it's just a bunch of left turns, and it's terrible. Dude, it's a lot more strategy to driving at 200 miles an hour. That's white-knuckle driving at its finest. And you're almost, like, the thing that I've always understood about NASCAR was that you're driving – it's like driving every day. You're trying to anticipate what somebody else is doing. From the way it was explained to me is that in order to be a good driver, it's like everybody kind of has to be on the same page, in the sense you kind of have to know that this person understands the rules of driving. It's like a lot of drafting is concerned. There's a lot of drafting is involved, excuse me, in NASCAR. There's a lot of slingshots. You have to understand a lot about
a lot of teamwork.
A lot of teamwork. A lot about the way these cars are set up and the way that they run, and about, you know, catching somebody's draft and wind drag and all the other good stuff. It's a lot that goes into that, man.
Dan's at Ackworth. He's on with John and Hugh. Dan, what up?
Hey guys. Hey, you know, I've been a race car driver for a lot of years and been around NASCAR for a lot of years. And they have several big problems. Number one, you are right. They are lacking the stars. But the big thing is that they're putting a bad product on the track. Is that, you know, your partner there said something about the slingshot. The slingshot is no longer around. It hasn't been around in 20 years.
Say what?
They have, yeah. Do you know what the slingshot is?
Yeah, that's when you use the car in front of you to draft, right, and then you get out and yeah, shoot in front of him, right?
You can't do that anymore because of the aerodynamics of the cars. Back in the day, you could come from 20 car lengths back, catch the draft, and go blowing by the guy all day long. You can't do that anymore. That's the slingshot. You have to have teammates in order to get around people. See, they don't have the ability to pass by themselves, whereas in back in the day, you could do that. It's just they've engineered these cars so much that it's basically becoming like Formula One, where you just follow the leader all day long.
Right, but Formula One, right.
Look at all.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get your point. Thanks, Dan, and being a driver, and best of luck to you, and I appreciate that, Dan. I get his point, but Formula One is fine. Formula One is doing very well.
And they make a ton of money
Ton of money, and they're superstars, and the circuit is great because they have stars. I see what Dan is saying. He's not wrong, and we can address that. There are people that don't like restrictor racing. The sport is devoid of stars.
Formula One racing, I know that's international, and a lot of people are into that, and it's more about the cars and the makers of the cars and everything like that. I can't name one Formula One race car driver.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not huge for us.
No, that's what I'm saying. But when you say popular, I'm stuck in my own little bubble.
I think might be right.
Mario
there.
Andretti is the biggest Formula One racer that I remember. That's it.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton and whatnot. I mean, they're big stars overseas. I mean, huge stars overseas. But you know, I mean, you're right. That's a European circuit. But they do have stars, and they celebrate their stars, and their stars are famous and in Europe and in Spain. But here, you know, I mean, and here Denny Hamlin wins the second one. Denny Hamlin's a fine driver. Denny Hamlin walking to Cumberland Mall, nobody going to know who he is.
No, because nobody watches driving like that, John. Nobody understands.
But they would have known Jeff Gordon, and they would have known Dale Sr., right?
That Richard was a different Petty, time. Right, but that was a different time.
But that's my point. It was a different time. Richard Petty and Dale Sr. And I mean, these superstars of the sport, and it went on and on, by the way. Bobby Allison and Donnie Allison and Darrell Waltrip and Bill Elliott, they were all superstars. And now, the pole sitter was a kid named William Byron. Never heard of him? I don't know, right? Never heard of him. Lot to get up to. Since this is our Monday, we got a lot to catch up on. The Combine is ahead this weekend, but today may actually be a huge day in the NFL. We'll tell you why next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.